All right. Well, are you ready to get into the Word? I was a little under the weather sometime this week, toward the end of the week, so I started looking at some videos. And so David said he doesn't want to preach, but I just thought, well, shoot, why look at videos? I'll just give it to him. Let him do it. So I was looking at some videos, and none of them clicked with me. And so I went ahead and thought, well, I'll just send one because I don't know if I'll be, how I'm going to be doing on that day. So anyway, doing well, and I wanted to bring this word. It was on me all week, but then I got this call last night. It was the funniest call from my sister-in-law. I won't name any names, but she called to see if my electricity was on, and I said, yes, my electricity's on, and she says, well, ours is off, and I said, really? She said, yeah. They said, Walmart's off, and everybody in this area, it's off, and so I said, well, do you have the number to Edison Company? You can call them, and they'll tell you what happened and when it's going to be on. So my daughter already called the Edison Company, and they said a car had hit a pole or something or ran into something. And she says, here's what she said. Not knowing what had been on my heart all week, and now I understand the attack maybe had come to stop some of that. But she says, oh, you know, she said the Edison Company said somebody ran into something. But, you know, you can't believe anyone these days. She said, there's no truth anywhere. And I'm thinking, well, surely we could believe the Edison Company. So I don't know if she said that or daughter said that. But that's what I wanted to talk to today. The truth is under attack. I mean, for her to say she doesn't believe the Edison Company, I'm thinking, dude, that's getting pretty bad. When you can't believe them, but I guess you can't sometimes, you know, she's thinking, well, it could have been a, you know, a terrorist attack, and they're telling me a car hit something. So but that's kind of the world we're living in right now. So, but there is a truth, and if you live the truth, and if you preach the truth, I'm telling you, if you live the truth, and if you are one who has absolute truth, people are going to call you old-fashioned, and you are legalistic, and you're crazy, or as they say today, cray-cray. Whatever they want to say, I'm not going to agree with it. So anyway, I want to go there today and talk to you about two gates, and there's only two gates. Let's see what Jesus said about the truth. Let's see. We're not going to go anywhere yet. Let's go to John 14. That's where we'll start at John 14. This is real familiar to you. But nevertheless, sometimes we just need to see it in black and white or red and white. Red and white is the best. But Jesus said this, and I used this at a funeral the other day because so many of the family was saying, I don't get it. I don't understand. Why? And I don't know. I don't know, Pastor. I don't know. Well, you know, I just felt to bring this toward the end of the message after I talked about their loved one, that Jesus is, as it says right here, John 14:6, Jesus himself said, if you get lost and you don't feel like you know the way anymore, he said, look, I'm it. Just come to me. I am the way. And if you don't know the truth anymore, and you can't believe Edison Company or who the news, if you can't believe them, Jesus said, well, you know, I've given you an answer. I am the truth. If you get lost, I'm the way. If you need the truth and you got lies surrounding you, he says, I'm the truth. If you say, I just don't have a life, it's just tore up from the floor up. I don't have a life. Well, Jesus said, just in case you need a life, I'm it. I'm the way. I am your truth. And I am the life. So he says, I'll give you a life, but you've got to walk with me to get this life. You have to just stay with me. And I'll tell you this about people who go with the truth, an absolute truth. People accuse you, and they will say, you're narrow-minded. You're just too narrow-minded. You're closed-minded. Well, take that as a badge of courage. I mean, just a badge of honor. Let them say you're narrow-minded. Let them say you're closed-minded. Because the truth is, folks, you have to be closed-minded on some things. You just got to be. Let me quote to you what one commentator said. He said, one of the most closed-minded positions is to believe that everyone must be open-minded all the time. Let me read that to you again. One of the most closed-minded positions is that everyone must be open-minded all the time. And my daughter, whatever you battled this morning, I mentioned two songs, but then you sang, "Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord." And I was saying, "Lord, open the eyes of the people's hearts that I will be talking to Sunday morning." Because we have to be open-minded to what I'm giving you this morning. But they say, "Oh, no, you're too closed-minded." Because they want you to believe everything they believe. Helen Trowbridge told me one time she got on an airplane with Carlton Pearson. And she used to work in that church years and years ago. And he said, "Helen, you are so closed-minded. You have to read this book." And it was talking about inclusion, that everybody is saved. Everybody, no matter what they're doing, no matter who they are, no matter what lifestyle they live, everybody is in the kingdom, from Muslims to Islam to Buddhist, everybody is saved. That's inclusionist doctrine. And he said, "Well, will you just read this book?" Well, he not only, like most of the world today, they don't want you just to be tolerant. They used to just say, "Be tolerant." But they don't just want you to be tolerant anymore. They want you to agree. You just have to see it their way. And they say, "We're closed-minded." Oh, no, honey. Listen, you just pass it right back to them. When they say you're closed-minded, you're narrow-minded, you say, "And what are you?" You want the whole world to think just like you and your little group, who is the minority today, by the way. A couple of years ago, they made us all think that we were the minority, that everything else, the evil, was all rule. Not anymore. So the truth is coming forward, folks. Let me tell you something else that same brother said. I'm not sure if it was Spurgeon. I'm kind of thinking it was him. But he said, I hope you got this down. Truth, listen. Truth is always true. For all people, in every place, all the time. And it's never compatible. Some things we should just be closed-minded on. Let me say it again. Remember this. The truth is always true. Did you put it above? Okay. The truth is always true for who? All people. Communist countries, Africa, Indonesia, socialist countries. It's true for everybody. New Testament facts that Jesus put here, the Bible says it's true. Truth is always true for all people in all places at all times. Never compatible with the world. I'll tell you, I'm going to keep that. I'm going to write that down at home. I'm going to put that on my mirrors. I'm just going to keep it. Now look, Miss Gabby has on a beige dress today. Now, you cannot tell me that her dress, stand up, Gabby. You can't tell me that that dress is blue. It's just not a blue dress. How many would agree? We're not going to argue about that. I'm closed to anyone telling me that's a blue or yellow dress. This carpet, what color would you say this carpet is? All of you don't know what color this carpet is? What color is it? Thank you. So that's not debatable. It's not, yellow, it's not pink, it's not any other color. So we know we are closed to anyone else coming and telling us what color that carpet is. We're just closed to that. And this man down here on the end, Brother BJ, stand up. He is a man. Don't one of you come to church after church, come to me and say, he's a woman. He is not a woman. I'm closed to you saying that. Dee, stand up. She's a woman. Turn around so they can see from behind, because your hair might be a little short back. She is a woman. You can sit down now, but I'm not going to argue with you, so don't come to me after church say she's a man. She's just not. I'm just going to be closed to that, Dee. Anybody telling me that you're anything else? And I'm really, really going to be closed to people telling you, Clara, that you're 16. Stand up, Clara. Let them see it. Turn around. Now, I know she looks it. Turn around. Let them see. She is not 16. You can tell me, Clara, all you want. She's not 16. 17. All right, I might buy that. But not 16. You see what I... Do you get it yet? There's just some truth. That's just absolute, 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 absolute. It's just the plain old truth. You want to know a couple more? I figured you would. I knew you would get to that, Pastor. Oh, you bet I will. There's only two genders, male and female. Not debatable. I'm not going to talk to you. You're not going to talk to anybody else. There's only two, and that's all there is. And I'm closed to hearing about the cats and the rabbits and this and that. And did you hear how the government spent millions of dollars a couple of years ago trying to make a poor little mouse transgender? Now, there's two genders. And if anyone asks you if you think men can have babies, let me tell you the answer. How many of you knows the answer? Can men have babies? Okay, I think you're pretty close-minded to that. Men cannot have babies, and men cannot become women. You say, well, they can if they have surgery. No, they're still not a woman. They're still a man. You can put anything you want on that little card when that baby's born. They say now you can just put no name yet or no sex, because you're going to decide which way the baby goes. Well, go ahead. Help yourself. But it's not the absolute truth. In fact, it isn't truth at all. So you say, well, we're absolute on creation. We're absolute on abortion. God said, I knew you from before you were in your mother's womb. I fashioned you. I put all your parts together, Psalms 139. I knew. I put it all in place. I caused that baby to function in the mother's womb. I caused the universe to work and the sun to come out and the sun to just keep moving and the moon to get in its place and the stars and the starry sky painted the black sky with beautiful silver stars, which are planets larger than this. Who do you think that creation just popped into place? How ignorant can you be? We're just pretty close-minded on some of these things, church. And here's your time to get out if you want to go. Pastor, I'm out of here. This old-fashioned legalistic church. No, let me tell you something. This is probably today one of the most urgent messages of our generation and of our time, because many don't know what they believe anymore. And you've got to realize that some of the people you work with, they may be out there and crazy, but they don't even know what they believe. So if you don't know the truth and you don't know what you believe, how can you win them? So the only place that you're going to get truth is in here. You're not going to get it at the grocery store or at some party or at school. Certainly not going to get it there. So I'm going to give you what Jesus said. Is that all right? All right, let's go to Matthew 7:13. Matthew 7:13. You know, I heard a man saying on TBN about 2 weeks ago. He said, I left Christianity and went to the Muslim church. It's not a church. But I joined Islam. And the commentator said, why did you do that? And he said, because I'm tired of them being so close-minded. Are you serious? What is that group of people? I can do as I please, and it'll be all in the name of Buddha, or excuse me, Islam. And there's a lot of people in the body of Christ today that do whatever they want to do in the name of Jesus. I will go to that church because it's a 45-minute service. I will go to this church because they're not as tight as you are. You are just tight. We've got a reputation at this church that we're tight, and we don't do this, and we don't do that, but we can do anything we want to do. Anything. But we just know the end thereof. It's just not good. So I just want to bring this to you today. I'll be quiet with my opinions. It just doesn't matter. Oh, but the word does. He said, and another man on that same set said, I left my Christian church, and I went to another one because all my pastor does is preach the word. He said, you know, and no offense, you guys, no offense, but he says, I like T.D. Jakes because he just brings everything, and he talks about everything, but my pastor just teaches the word. Well, you know what? They could call me that if they want to. I'll try to live up to it, and I'll just say thank you for that. Thank you, thank you. All right, so let's look at Matthew 7:13. Jesus speaking here, red letter edition. Oh, I forgot to tell you to put on King James Version, but it'll be all right, Tiffany. I didn't say that. I just kept it on the New King James, so we'll leave it there. But I'll interpret. Matthew 7:13. Enter by the narrow gate. Old King James says straight. S-T-R-A-I-T. Enter by the straight gate or the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go there by it, to go in by it. Because narrow or straight is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life. And there are few that find it. That's a little scary right there. All right, somebody say straight is not straight. Okay, this straight that he's talking about is S-T-R-A-I-T, straight. Okay, which means a narrow path. Let me give you the definition of this straight. It means narrow, okay, this path. Is a narrow path. There's room for you and him. It means narrow, means tight, it means restricted, difficult. And Jesus said it would be difficult on this path. We just read it. He said difficult is a way that leads to life. It means narrow, tight, restricted, difficult, and confined. Can find. Do you ever feel lonely on this path? Do you ever cry on this path? Sometimes you just got to sit down and cry. It's hard. It's difficult. Sometimes you walk it alone and you're misunderstood. But then sometimes it's just so awesome and so good and you're just so so thankful for where you are with him. And then there's the other strait, S-T-R-A-I-G-H-T. Paul said, I'm caught in a strait. That strait was, I'm caught in a strait. Paul was talking about this strait, this narrow path. But then Jesus also said in Matthew 3:3, prepare the way of the Lord and make straight his paths. That straight is like a straight road. It is straight. There's a difference between something being straight and something being narrow. The straight path Jesus is talking about is narrow, restricted, a small confined space. And then in Isaiah talked about making straight places. He said, I'll make the crooked places straight. So straight road, that's good. And he makes our crooked places straight. But Jesus said to enter through the straight gate, he said, the first word he said there in verse 13 was enter by the straight gate. He didn't say, admire it. Oh, I just love going to church. I admire that church. I love it. I admire it. He didn't say to do that. He didn't say, just enjoy it. Oh, you know, I enjoy going to church. I enjoy the music. I just enjoy being there. And he didn't say to borrow it in case of emergency. You know, sometimes people will come in and borrow the church, borrow the faith, to maybe get them out of a mess or give them what they want. They'll seek the Lord a while until they get it and you never see them again. Jesus wasn't talking about that. He said, you entered the gate. And then he used the word for. That means because. Enter the narrow gate. For, look, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many that go in by that gate. Man, it's wide. It is so wide. And what most people don't realize that there's only two choices. You know, Oprah a few years ago, I'm telling you, she was just out there saying, well, I just refuse everything these pastors are saying. They're saying Christianity says there's only one way to God. But I tell you, there are many ways to God. I tell you, there's no other way to him. Jesus said, no man comes to the Father but through me. And that's it. That's absolute truth. There is no other way. There's just no other mind open to anything. There's only two roads. Two gates. The straight gate and the wide gate. And the straight gate is narrow and the wide gate is broad. I mean, you could just hang out. It's easy. It is so easy. You could do anything that your heart's desire. No restrictions. No morals. You don't have to worry about those silly morals. You don't have to be like that. You don't have to be all restricted all the time. It's attractive. Boy, it looks good. And boy, I'll tell you something else, church. It is self-serving. It feels good to me. And the old saying in the school when I grew up was, if it feels good, do it. If it feels good, just do it. If you want to smoke a joint, smoke the joint. If you want to cuss and swear every time you turn around, well, then do that. You could, if you want to go to X-rated movie or whatever they are now, go there. You don't have to worry about it. It's a wide gate. There's nothing there. I mean, it's just the way of the world. It's the way we do things, you old sourpuss. You old prudy person. Whatever that meant. Prudish, I meant. There's just two gates, the narrow and the wide. And it's up to us, folks. It's up to us. And I don't know how we're going to get this message out there. Listen, I'll tell you, I'll just bet you, this will be the message of the hour for right now. if preachers will be bold enough to say it, if we'll be bold enough to say it, oh, I pray that God will open this up and put it all over the place. Because the world requires no moral change unless you're going to change to be like them. If you're going to be like them, if you're going to sleep like them, if you're going to dress like them, if you're going to talk like them, you're going to drink like them, do everything they do, then they're in. You can fit in with us. I don't want to fit in with them. I could never fit in if I wanted to. I just wouldn't fit. I'm not worried about fitting with them. No, you're not either. I know that. But there's some churches and there are some people who have a form. You know what I'm going to say? Well, they have a form of what? Godliness. They have that form, but he said they deny the power thereof. Now, if you have a church, the old saying goes, I grew up on again, is if you have a church with all form, you have a cold, dead church. But if you have a church that is all godliness, then you could get a flaky church. But you have to have both form, order, and godliness. So if you have some boundaries in your life, godly boundaries, he'll let you go as far as you want to go. Just stay in the boundaries of the kingdom of God. Behaving and do everything in love and in his glory. Then you keep the form. And you know who you are in him. It's okay to have order in your life. It's okay to have order at home. It's okay to tell your children, no, you're not watching that. No. You are not watching that in our home. Furthermore, I'm not watching that. The other night, I had Fox on, okay? I'm sitting there having dinner. And I'm thinking I'm going to watch it, okay? I want to see what happened. I hadn't seen all day. I thought I'd better catch up with the news, see if we're still here. Well, I turned it on, and there's that gut filled. I thought, well, I'll see who's on his show. You know what? He couldn't even wait to introduce those people until he got so vulgar, filthy mouth. You know what I said? Oh, this is going to sound so legalistic. I said, not in my house. And I turned him. Of course, I went over to TBN. Well, about an hour, I thought, I'll go back. He's gone. And there was that goofy taxi driver. And he goes off. I could not even believe it. And I'm saying, Fox Network, what is wrong with you putting two of these nutcakes together? Ooh, it's quiet. How could they do that? Put two of them together that are just as vulgar. And look. If you don't want your kids to hear it, then don't you listen to it. Say, I don't know, Pastor. You're getting off over in my world now. Well, I don't care. I guess I ought to. But after we were saved, church, after we were born again, every decision we make should be based on who we are. Who are you? You woman of God? Then your decisions and where you work, what you do, your family life, your home life, your school. I was thinking, excuse me while I get personal again, you guys. I know, but I have the floor, and I am the pastor, and this is where I live. But I was thinking of the school system today, and I know that our kids should be a light out there. But I was thinking of Sarah and David. Here they are, grown people, and David's never preached. Sarah's never led worship. Where'd that come from? They were raised in homeschool their entire lives, both of them. Both parents are ministers. That didn't cause it probably, but it could have. And Sarah was raised on the all around the United States on a Silver Eagle bus traveling from here to here, staying at every hotel every different week, every week a different hotel, doing her homeschool. with Lainey's two girls. David was home doing a few years or a lot of years before, doing homeschool, church school at home. I'm going to tell you, the upbringing of a child makes a difference. Where does that come from? That upbringing. You say, ah, it's too late for me. It's never too late. You can pray over your kids now, Grandma and Grandpa. We're getting ready to have a Grandparents' Day here. I'm looking forward to that, aren't you? Okay, I'll be. Me and you look forward to it, Dee. It's just going to be fun. Okay, thank you, Lynn. But all of our decisions are based on our Christian life after we were born again. Now, if you've taken the narrow path, you say, oh, Pastor, I took the narrow path. I'm good. I'm just good. Okay, you are. But you've got to realize, what are your decisions? Are you basing your decisions on that narrow path? Or are you still making wide old worldly, as they used to say, carnal decisions? If you are, then I don't know about that narrow path. We might have to take another look at it. Because what Jesus is saying, and you'll see it, is one destination off of one road is heaven. It's a godly life. And he said, those that choose this path will be like a tree planted by the waters of living water. In other words, water will just come up in your roots. And it'll bring you peace that passes understanding. And you've constantly got this supply of water, the watery fountain of God just coming up in you, destroying things but causing growth to grow in you and getting rid of the things that shouldn't be there. But the other one leads to destruction and it leads to hell. Hell's an old-fashioned word today too. But I'll tell you something about this narrow path. Yes, it's rough sometimes and it's hard. And you have both the good and you have very hard times. But they do too. They have very hard times, but they don't have the help and the grace that you and I have to get through it. We may go through some of the same hurts and the same aches and pains, but we have the grace of God, amen, to help us get through those tough, difficult times. And on this narrow path, man, there's resistance. The world will resist you. Some of you that don't have believing families, your family will resist you. You're talking to me about that all the time. My family resists me, Pastor. They do. They don't even want me around because of being a Christian. And many talk about all those paths. No, there's no other paths. And many just don't want to be on this narrow path because it interrupts their schedule. I don't have time for church. Okay, I have one day off a week. Well, if you went to church on that only day off, I believe God would produce more time in that day. It's an amazing thing how he does that. It'll interrupt with my lifestyle. I think that's the big one. My lifestyle might get a little bit cramped if I hang out here. But at the end of the day, church, the end of the day, there's only two gates. There's only two. The narrow and the broad. The wide and straight. That's it. And there's only two kinds of people. You want to go deeper? I know our time is gone. There's only two kinds of people. Two gates? Wide and narrow. Or wide and straight. But there's two kinds of people. Sheep and goats. And the goats always saying, but, this, but, that, but. The goats always butting somebody. Jesus told us about the sheep and goats. Look over here in Matthew. I'll just let him tell you, because if I tell you, get mad at me. But what are you going to do to him? Is that you, my brother Parrish? God bless you. It's good to have you here today. God bless. Matthew 25, verses 31 through 34. Thank you, Tiffany, for being there today, honey. Matthew 25, look at verse 31. This is a truth. Somebody say absolute truth. from Jesus himself. Look, verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, that's Jesus, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations. I told you this message was for everybody, all the time, everywhere. The nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep. From who? The sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the other left. Jesus will have the last but. He says, but the goats on the left. And then the king will say to those on his right hand, he didn't say the left hand, he said the king of kings, the Lord of lords, will say to those on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I had plans for you a long time ago. And he said, now, come on in. Welcome, thou good and faithful servant. But there's a division. And I think, church, we can see this separation going on right now, can't you? It looks like we're all being divided up. I'm not calling anybody a goat, but I'm just saying it's not lifting anybody up. Listen, you're not better than anybody. You're not below anybody. We are just in a different kingdom. That's who you are. You can say, follow me as I follow Christ. I won't lead you astray. I'll lead you to Jesus. And that's not being all proud. It's just saying you know who you are. You're a sheep in a beautiful kingdom. Two gates, two people. And he didn't say, Jesus, you didn't see it there. You didn't see. He said this to the rich or the poor or the educated or the uneducated. He didn't see it to the male or the female, or the Democrat, or the Republican, or the brown, black, white. He didn't say it to any of those. He didn't say this to the educated or the uneducated. He just said, no, I've only got two kinds of people. Sheep and goats. That's it. I just got two gates. Jesus always kept it simple. He always kept it simple. I've got this straight gate and I've got a wide gate. That's what I've got. So the narrow path with us, we've got this insider. This is the amazing thing about the sheep. We have this insider called the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit who lives in us to lead us, to guide us, to help us, to comfort us, to give us peace when there's no peace anywhere. He has all of that. He has all the fruits, all of the spirit, all of the gifts. And he abides within us to guide us. But you got to ask him. You have to ask him. You have to talk to him now and then, amen? Some say, well, Pastor Paulette, the standard is so high. I know the standard is high. But stay on this path. Just stay on it. I just say, Lord, all the time, Lord, help me stay on this path. I know it's narrow, and I know it's always costing something. It cost me something. It cost you something. But help us to stay on this path because there's great rewards both here and eternity. It's not a temporary thing. It's a permanent thing. So these people playing out here in the world, they think it's all fun, and it is fun. The Bible says sin is fun for a season. But then it gives you the end of it is destruction. It'll catch up with you one of these days, and then it's not going to be so fun. So who are you living for? So he talks about all that. And while you're out there, you could get lost and never get back in. But the Holy Spirit's also our Redeemer and our Savior, our Keeper, our Helper, our Healer. Thank you, Jesus. Now, you can choose the wide gate if you want. You can run with all them, do everything you want to do. Anything you want, but at the end of the day, it's going to be destruction and hell. That's it. That's what Jesus said. I'm just telling you what our master said to us. Play if you want, You can play anything you want, but there is a truth. Somebody say there is an absolute truth. There just is. And you've got to be close to some of the other things. Some churches today, I'm not talking about other churches. I just know ours. Our church isn't perfect, but I just want to say they entertain. They just want to attract people. It's all about people. What can I do? And I'm going to do the best. I do love Rick Warren. I honor his book, Purpose Driven Life and Purpose Driven Church. I love him. I always have. He resigned his church, and a woman took his place. He chose a woman minister to take his place. And do you know they kicked him out of the Southern Baptist Church? Thousands of churches, yet he had the largest church down in Orange County, and they gave him the boot because they put a woman in there to minister. But when Rick started his church, I'll tell you this, when Rick started the church, he sent a note out to all the communities around the church, all through Orange County, distributed all this. And he said, if you came to church, what would you want in a church? Well, they said everything from an outside theater sitting so I can sit out there and have my coffee and whatever I want, my hamburger or whatever. Or if I want to come in my pajamas, I can come like that. Another one said, well, I don't like that kind of worship you have. I'd like to have a little country line dance and do a little country music. And he said, well, all right. And then another said, I'm from Hawaii. Do you have anything, any kind of Hawaiian music with ukuleles? And so they did everything. I mean, Diane and Bill Miller took me on a tour down there. It is the most amazing place you have ever seen. And the streets, and you've got to take little buses and shuttles to get over there. And you go across a bridge to get over there, and the streets are called Praise Avenue, Hallelujah Square, all these beautiful names. And then the tour guide told us, we've taken a tour, and he said, this place over here is for country worship with line dancing. So they do line dancing before the Lord. Don't you all get any ideas? And over here is the Hawaiian praise, and over here is this, and over here is that. It was just the most amazing thing. But then, you know what I heard Rick Warren say on TVN? I heard this years ago, never forgot it. He said, you know, we have 14,000 people at Saddleback. 14,000. And that man said, but let me tell all you pastors out there. He said, I probably shouldn't say this. And I don't even know if he was qualified to say it. But he said, out of those 14,000, I would say maybe 3,000 are serious Christians. The rest were coming to enjoy it, I suppose. Anything goes. Nobody's going to stay up with them in the week. Well, I'll get off of that. I don't know. I just wanted to tell you that, I guess. But the narrow path does cost us something. And you can either shop at the secondhand store, or you can shop at Macy's. But Macy's is going to cost you more. Nothing wrong with secondhand. Nothing wrong with Walmart, Target. I do it too. But if you want to pay the price, you get something a little better. And this life that you and I live is going to cost us something. Let me tell you, it is worth it. It is worth it. When my husband and daughter was buried, it was worth it for me to have the glory of God in my life, to keep my mind and my heart together. Amen? And you know you've been through it. And I say, just hold to God's unchanging hand. He said, remember the old song we used to sing, hold to God's unchanging hand? Just hold on. Stay with me. I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I will always be with you. And we have that promise. That is the absolute truth. Two gates, two people. Straight, wide, narrow, broad. Two kinds of people, sheep or goat. So we have to decide which one we are. Would you stand with me today? Wonderful Jesus. Lord, I pray that you were pleased with what I delivered today. I knew you laid it upon my heart. But Lord, I pray that your words got through to our hearts. We ask you, we sang it, that you would open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, because we want to see you. We see everything else going on. We see the good, bad, and ugly of the world. Sometimes we don't even know what to do, especially outside of you, there would be nothing. But Lord, we don't turn to those things. We turn to you, and we're grateful and thankful to have you. But Lord, if there's people in this house that says, oh God, how I need you. I didn't realize where I was headed. I've just played. I've done what I wanted to do. If it felt good, I did it. And I said, I'm not hurting anybody but me. But I didn't realize it is me that will be going to hell flames and hell fire. It will be me that's headed to destruction when it's all over. I don't want to be gone. I want to be found. And I want to be yours, Lord. Wonderful Jesus. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us to be open-minded to this word. Help us to stay open-minded to your word and close-minded to other things. Lord, there's so many things you've given us to enjoy, and our beautiful families, our homes, our lives, the vacation spots, the peace of mind, the presence. I wouldn't trade this life for any wide gate that the world could offer. So today, while every head is bowed, is there a brother or a sister, a man or woman, maybe you're older now, and you say, Pastor, I need help. I feel like I'm one of those goats just out there eating the pasture, and sometimes it's not even good pasture. Would you pray? I just want to come to God today. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad you were here to hear this message. I don't think you'll forget it. I really don't. I don't think you'll forget. But I'm going to ask you to come to the front with me. Would you? Let's just come and lay it down and just seek his face. Visitors invited. Let's just come for 2 or 3 minutes. Come on, please. Everybody step out. Let's just stand around here. You can kneel if you want to, but let us just come down and lay everything on the altar. And let us take this message of truth into our spirit. The Bible says that our spirit is always willing, but the flesh is weak. So, Lord, with our spirit, we approach your throne. You said, come boldly. Come on, church, lift up your hands and talk to him. You said, come on in boldly to the throne room that you might obtain grace to help you in time of trouble. And so, Lord, we just have come humbly. We come humbly to submit ourselves to you, to say, keep us on the narrow path. Give us wisdom in our lives and with our money and in our homes and in our marriages and with our children and our children's children and our church. May the teachers always remember that they are missionaries to these little children. Lord, may we remember when we're at work or we're at Target or we're at Walmart or we're at the post office that somebody may need us. Somebody may need your love, your smile, your touch, just your friendly voice. Help us to just act like you, Lord. I know we're human and I know we can get lost sometimes. But you always bring us back. You said, I'm going to go after that one sheep. If I've got 99 in the pen, I'm going to go get one that strays. Would you ask him right now? Say, come after me, Lord. If I should walk away, just come after me. Please come and get me. Don't ever let me stray. Ask him, church, please. Ask him, just don't let me stray. Don't let me get away. You never know what you may be tempted with this week. You may be tempted with anything. But Lord, help us when we are. Lead us not into temptation. Deliver us from evil. Amen? May the Lord bless you and keep you, cause his beautiful face to shine upon you. May he be gracious to you, keep you in your home, in your mind, with your family. May he bring healing over your family and keep you all the days of your life. May his beautiful and handsome countenance shine upon you and give you peace in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all. Be blessed and be safe this week.